Recorded Books presents Concerning Those Who Have Fallen Asleep, Ghost Stories, by Adam Soto. Narrated by Deleo Gunderon, Arnell Powell, Marisol Ramirez, Jeed Sadi, Christopher Salazar, and Sridhar Solanki. Chapter 1. Beginnings and Endings. Polyptych for the beginning of the end of the world, or three beginnings for the end of the world and a play.
Cabbages. You take a risk and you are rewarded. You live through a swelter summer, the humidity of it, the flying vectors of disease of it, the itchy, sleepless, worry-filled nights of it, and still you have a baby, deliberately, and it works out great. Congrats. You end up with a baby with a normal head, normal feet, normal lungs, and bask in the normalcy of the earthly reward. You pray, eat the placenta, swaddle, inoculate. You return home at night to keep the neighbors in the dark. You do not call the man to tell him, his heart being a man's. You bundle and feed. You do not answer doors. You research convents and covenants, somewhere to be not alone, promises. A small Armenian eunuch drives you into the hills one night. He is incapable of feeling the urge for legacy, the silly feeling the moon gives the sea, he explains. You don't get this analogy. He makes love, he says, but no plans. He is like just about every man you've ever met then. But if your employer put these stipulations in your contract, you say, get a lawyer, bud. In the hills, the women welcome you, soothe and assure. They give you and the eunuch separate rooms. The baby sleeps beside you, semi-suctioned into a rubber bassinet that clips to your bed frame and promises nearly moralizing posture. You look at the newborn reflecting starlight like a glass of water. Half asleep, yourself, you believe you hear the screaming of the castrati, the crying of angels. In the morning, the eunuch is gone. The group is called the Mothering. Their last baby left 4 years prior, grown, prepared. It is the longest they have gone without a good birth, 22 years. Coming to gather your clean clothes to wash the items themselves, they are pleased to see how good you are with the baby, that your t-shirts and bras are crusted with the peanut-colored stains of your breast milk. If you had turned out to be the kind of mother who'd force her baby to face a corner while you smoked and took pills and painted your toenails over and over in a poorly ventilated room as a prelude to the many years you were destined to spend filling the child's head with doubts, it'd have been a blessing just the same. Life is life, it's turned out, irrespective of how prepared you are to treat it. But they are happy you are the mother you are, the kind who travels with dirty laundry, a woman prepared to make the most of anything. The eldest amongst the mothering, who is glad to have you and is also huge, invites you on a tour of the grounds. May I bring my baby? You ask. And the mother answers, you may, yes, if you choose to. You may choose to hold it close always, like a stone made of solid silver discovered in a pile of coal, and that you keep hidden from the men and women you pass in the street. Hot, flax, yellow clouds of dust hover a foot over your head. This place is dry and high up, good for wild rose and grapevine orchards. It's quite early, and already it's very hot. Women in dry, gray habits crawl in and out of the orchards. Your baby is too young to wave back. Your guide's flat shoes look painted on and remind you of the black shellac bands of the bowling pins you used to try to knock over 10 at a time in the bowling alley of your hometown. You wonder if any of the women here can juggle, if they put on talent shows to keep themselves entertained, if they drink the wine, too. If inside the woman's tight shoes are a pair of purple feet, or hooves, or something you've never seen in your life.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?